We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog.
Hello, and welcome to our 31st episode of the Gutenberg Changelog. In today's episode, we will talk about tools for CSS, theme JSON, 2021 theme, and a mile-long changelog of Gutenberg 9.2. Settle in. My name is Birgit Pauli-Haag, curator of the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Mark Urain, designer at Automattic and core contributor to WordPress. How you doing,
hey,
Mark?
Birgit.
Hey.
It's good to talk with you again. WordPress 5.6 is underway, and we're all watching and testing to make sure it's a smooth upgrade. I myself have been deep in widget screen feedback, aggregating all the feedback from the different channels, validating it, triaging it, and communicating it with devs and other people. And wow, a lot of good information coming in right now so that we can make sure we get this screen right. How have you been doing?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing well. The weather's got a bit cooler, but that's a joke in Florida. But my running gets better again because now I have more air. But I had to wait a week for our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I used the time well, though, testing widget screen last week. So some of the feedback comes from me.
Yes, it does. It's all good, too.
And I was so happy that I could use the new zip of the daily plugin or the plugin from Master so I don't waste time on things that were already fixed from the last plugin release. There were 227 commits in the Gutenberg 9.2, and that was all released since the last plugin. So if you start a week later or a week before the release, you have too many commits and a lot of things were already fixed. So it's a new service on the Gutenberg Times, and we publish daily builds of the plugin for others who to download for testing. Not everyone wants to install Node.js or NPM or visit the command line or cares for downloading an additional 200,000 files.
Wow. Well, that's really a good service that you're providing there. I would imagine, it makes it a lot easier to test some of this stuff, some of the latest things coming out.
Especially with the Gutenberg team so gung-ho and producing a wonderful new plugin version every 2 weeks. It needs some more testing, and there are so many features coming, and we need a lot more people testing it. So the more eyes we get, the better the product will be doing. And if that's the blocker, come to Gutenberg Times. It's kind of right from the front page. You get to that. And if you need a download of the master build, So we had not really a listener question, but I had good conversations with consultants and developers, and latest with Peter Zoom, founder and CEO of Branch, for their new podcast called The Billable Hours. And the question was, well, what is the end vision of Gutenberg? Where does it go? And that question really surprised me after 3 years of state of the word and a lot of writing. So, but it might be just that it's not in all the corners of the WordPress community. So
we're so deep into this, right? Like it's good to remind ourselves that not everybody knows everything about Gutenberg, and we really need to communicate that.
Yeah. And what I've see is that people just took it away into the, in the back of the head for 2 years and now come back to it. And of course, jumping in at this moment is really confusing. So there are four phases to Gutenberg. And the first phase is the post editor. So we went through that, the blocks, the infrastructure for blocks, and create great content with the block editor for your posts and pages. That phase was until 2019, a year after release in 5.0. Well, it started in 2017, but and then in 2019, the team started working on the phase two, which is the full site editing experience, where not only, and that's the place where the mystery meet met. Molenbeek talked about, and other people talked about, the mystery meat that people need to learn about, like widgets and gadgets and shortcodes and yeah, here's a menu and all that. That is all going to become blocks and have a full site editing experience.
Right, not only
editor. Yeah,
I'll add not only just full site editing, but really kind of, I remember Matt saying, you know, in the state of the word, like there's a whole tightening up process for what was done in phase one as well. So there was 2019, we spent a lot of time just kind of polishing and bringing, like, really refining the experience. And then we started pulling blocks into other areas, right? Started experimenting with the widget screen, the navigation screen, and then full site editing is really the way that it's just going to bring it all together. So really,
yeah, but point. There's also the component of global styles.
Yeah,
that whole system is part of the full site, seems to be part of the full site editing.
Totally.
Yeah. And so there are so many moving parts right now, but that's what everybody's working on. And because when you build something new, you need to have the fitting components. And if you work on the components, you get to a point where you say, well, let's see if we want to, if it works. And then, oh, well, it doesn't work. It's like,
wait, I was building a square and you built a circle for the hole. Well, how
you borrow a tunnel, right? From both sides.
Do they meet in the middle?
Yeah. And so that's phase two. And it will definitely be in 2021 that there's at least some releases from that. Some pieces will be released. And then the phase three is collaboration tools, like Google Docs collaboration possibilities for editing content on WordPress site. And, well, Riha did a proof of concept with his asblocks.com, where he had a fully encrypted collaboration tool there, and he has a whole website where he explains it. So that is at least in the works. And phase four is multi-language websites coming to core. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has been on the back end, back mind of the core team for a long time.
I will say, like, we're so deep into phase two right now that every once in a while I peek my head up and I look at phase three off in the distance and I get very excited. I'm super excited to see collaboration happen. I mean, imagining multiple people editing one post together at one time, like that inside of WordPress, it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, and comments for each paragraph and all the different, so it would be really cool. So that's kind of a good vision to have. So maybe that clarifies it, not only for our listeners, but also, take the word further.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Matt Mullenweg was asked, I think, in how far in the process are we? And he said at the end of 2019, he said about 2018, he said about 10%, 2019, he said about 20%.
Okay.
If you kind of think about a 10-year process to come to 100, maybe in between something speeds up, because who knows what is in 10 years or in 8 years.
This is true. I'm sure, like, we're going to hit certain parts of the process that tend to go faster and quicker. Right now, when conceptual phases are happening, it's like, okay, how do these work together? So all really good phases. I'm glad you brought those back up, Birgit, so that everybody listening can kind of get a catch up on the vision of Gutenberg.
Where
it's all going. So that brings us to announcements. And we have a pretty big announcement today, Birgit, don't we? It was shared earlier this week in Slack by Robert Anderson and some other people that the widget screen is not going to make it into the 5.6 release. And there was a discussion among many that led to that decision. And I think it was a good decision. Last 3 weeks has been a big push to try to get this screen ready in time for beta. And we've encountered a few issues that are bigger than just quick fixes. What'd you think about that announcement?
Yeah, well, I think it's a good decision. I spent all Thursday testing it. And I know a lot of people also got into the testing sprint that Francesca was running on the core channel on Friday. And I liked what Helen wrote in her comment on the track ticket for that. She wrote, and I quote her now, "My question for features that affect the front end is, can I try out this new thing without the penalty of messing up my site? And so it's a question about the user trust. At this current moment, given that the widget areas, and I'm still quoting, are not displayed anything like what you see on your site without themes really putting effort into it, that you have to save your changes live without revisions to get an actual contextual view, widget area blocks do not allow you to try this new feature without penalizing you for experimenting.
End quote.
End quote, yes. So, and I like that kind of do a user-centric view on this. And when you force a user to change, it's a lot of work for the user. So at the end of it, there needs to be something that is in not incrementally better, but so much better than before. And I don't think that the widget screen is there yet.
Yeah, I think to add to that, one of the things that I know Matthias has brought up before is that, are we doing enough to show what can be done now with blocks in the widgets areas? Like, that's a really big deal. Like, a lot of these, you can now put blocks and other things into these widget areas that you weren't able to before. And to kind of provide examples of that to people out there so that they can kind of see, oh yeah, I can use these blocks and make different things. Even you, Birgit, have mentioned like having patterns that can really lay out the blocks specifically to a widget area, you know, it would be very beneficial. And we haven't really communicated that as well as we should have probably.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing, but we talked about it before. It's kind of seeing the forest for the trees seeing it, because when you change something at the user interface changes, first you are kind of focused on, well, how do I learn these things and how does it actually work before you can add more creativity to it and said, oh, if I can do that, can I do that? And I always like that when that happens with users. But so Ari, I think it was Ari, had a few things. So drag and drop from the inserter does not work. And that's definitely a learned feature behavior from the old widget screen. And then expecting a fixed sidebar, the sidebar that where the block, what the blocks are in, you know, right now that kind of goes away when you added a block and then you have to click on it again. So these are the smaller things that can certainly happen, but and then not supporting JavaScript powered widgets, what is still missing for the experience. So it's a good decision and I'm glad that there were voices there, but I also am so happy that there was a 3-week push to make sure that we are actually not gonna, that this actually not gonna work, get in. It might have gotten in, yeah, or we get it further than, you know, but you never know how long things last or how long things take when you create something new. So having a focused team working on it definitely brought out all the things that are not happening. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, we really wanted to, everybody involved really wanted to see this get in. We were really pushing for it, really trying. But sometimes, things just don't go as quickly or as easily as you might have assumed. And so those points that Ari brought up about the drag and drop and the fixed sidebar, you know, these behaviors that are very familiar to the classic like widget screen, we do want to try to explore those and improve them to make that experience better. But when it came to the customizer, like that was something that just kind of knocked a few of us around a bit, you know, once we realized that we were really trying to put a WYSIWYG editor inside of a WYSIWYG customizer. And that just didn't compute quite as well as we thought it should.
So. Yeah. And when that was 3 weeks ago, there was a decision that the widget screen only comes in from the WP admin menu and not through the customizer. A lot of people use the customizer and all of a sudden they have to change things. It's just, they expect a good behavior there as well. And that wasn't really.
Because the customizer really gives you a good idea on how that widget's going to look in context to your site, right? Whereas the widget screen doesn't provide that for you. So using the customizer there is a big thing. And I can totally see how if we can't get the blocks to render correctly and be updatable in the customizer through the process we were going, then we need to rethink that.
Yeah. Well,
the widget screen. Yeah, now we have time. Now the widget screen is on a good path, but you know, and that one's definitely getting dialed in.
Yeah, but I think I date myself. Yeah, I've never kind of taken to the customizer, so I was focused on the widget screen. But once I went over to the customizer,
it's a nice interface. It's not working out.
It's not working, and it looks funny, yeah, on this small screen, and it's kind of
does. It's
so yeah. Good luck, and yeah.
Thank you.
All right, but there are still great enhancements coming for the block editor in the WordPress release, and we'll talk about them in our next show. This time we have a mile-long changelog, so we're going to kind of not touch on that. But and so I only wanted to point out two community contributions. One is from John Q. I would not want to pronounce his name. He's a principal designer at Automattic, and he has been busy creating a tool for theme authors to transition to block-based themes. And he built a UI-based project called the Theme JSON Creator that builds out the JSON code for theme authors. Plus, it is also up to date with the most recent changes in the Gutenberg plugin. So we have in the show notes, we'll have a link to it and to the blog post to the site where he published that. It's definitely something for theme developers for the future full-site editing experience.
Right.
And a second tool that goes into the same direction is a CSS audit tool by Kelly Dwan. She's a JavaScript developer at Automattic and also worked on the block directory, started on a tool called CSS audit. We have the GitHub link in our show notes, and it's an experiment using CSS parsers to parse out information about a set of style sheets. So when it's run, it will generate information about your CSS, about number of distinct colors used, most specific selectors, how many properties you use important, etc. So I think it's really good to use it to review your CSS for the theme to kind of be able to kind of to migrate it into a full-site editing theme later on. And it would also help with the global styles that will come into your style sheets sooner or later.
And was this from, because I know the CSS peeps over there in Slack, they've been really having some great meetings about refining the CSS for WP Admin or in all of WordPress and kind of dialing that in better. Was this a product of that, of what the work that they've been doing there? Because
yes.
I know Kelly's been very involved. And so this was kind of built to really run WordPress through, right? And try to see kind of like all the various colors and everything. So, cool.
Yeah. Kelly was also the person who created a colorless admin screen.
I really liked that too.
Yeah.
That was so cool. So,
it was really cool. Yeah. She does some great work.
Let's talk about what's been released, Birgit. We know that 5.6 beta 1 was released as scheduled. And as you mentioned, we'll talk about that in another show, but because we have Gutenberg 9.2 has been released, and this is the final release that will be making it into WordPress 5.6. So we counted 227 changelog items. Oh my goodness. Just stop and think about that for a second. Oh, and we're gonna make our way through them. Maybe not all 227 in this episode, but we will touch on the highlights that we liked.
Yeah, of course.
So out of those 227 changelog items, three of them were new features. The first one is adding video tracks functionality. This was an interesting one I saw, and I even partook in some of the early designs for it. But trying to be able to upload and see which tracks you have uploaded for your videos. See the second
subtitles. Yeah.
Subtitle. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Feature number two was about transforming multiple selected blocks to a columns block. So there's always been kind of like you can select multiple blocks and group them, right? But now you can select multiple blocks and drop them into a columns block, which is kind of cool.
On the release article or post, the Jiffy or the animated GIF shows how to put three image blocks into columns. But I also like this feature for some text paragraphs and other combinations, because sometimes I start writing and I said, oh, maybe I want this to have this on the same level. These are three things that need to be looked at for the same at the same time. So I like that you now can do, because I have been moving things around and then, oh, I wrote it and now I have to one at a time kind of drag and drop it into a columns. And yeah, so this is really speeding up the thing.
I know the dragging and dropping through columns and stuff. Yeah, that was very tedious, right? But now it's like, quick, here's a drop down, make it happen. The other feature released was that the cover block now introduces repeated background options. So tiling the background image rather than just having it fill the background with one image, right?
Yeah, it's like background patterns that we had in the early days of non-algorithm internet of 90s.
Remember that? Yes.
Yeah. And I'm longing to get MySpace back. Right? Yeah.
It's really cool to see it, to mess around with it. I like this feature. You turn it off and turn it on with a quick toggle and see the background patterns.
And there are so many background patterns that you want to kind of use. Yeah, and this brings us to the enhancements. We had 24 enhancements in this 9.2 release. 13 alone were for the widget screen. So that was...
We really tried hard.
They really tried hard to get this over the finish line. So regarding blocks enhancements, there's a single column functionality now for the columns block, meaning you can have a columns block with one column to offset some of the design choices that you're going to make.
This is so good. So important, I think. So many times I want to make that happen, because the way the paragraph block kind of works within the columns block, you're able to blow it out of the set width of that the theme provides, right? So if otherwise you couldn't make the paragraph bust out of that fixed width of the theme. So this is a way to do that.
And then another change is in a gallery block. The image caption is now used as a fallback for the alt text. I was really hoping for that feature sooner or later because it, you have put it once in, then if it's for the reader, then it also should be for the screen reader, right?
Is that a toggle or is that just naturally happens now?
I think that is just automatically happening. And if you want to override it, you can override it. Yeah, the table block got a revision, and that's the first time we're talking about API version 2, but we come up with that later. And then the post featured image now has a link when it's in a list of posts. Then for the full site editing, there were a few enhancements with basic template information and a drop-down, view the templates in the sidebar. And then there is an info panel for layout improvement. It fixes the widow of the character count being in a new line by itself. And the overall design of this feature is still, it's however still discussed, but that was fixed now. There are three in the top line and two in the bottom line. That was your design that you came up with, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or something like that. Was that, well, we should have done that. Yeah, so, yay.
Yay.
Yay. But there's also a an effort to change the options model. It's now called preferences. And it has the things that are like, that was the second step, the two-step publishing process is in that options preferences section. There are other things in there. And they are trying to do a redesign as well on that, but that's not yet done. And then there are more writing flow options with reduced UI theme styles and spotlight that made it into the release.
Yeah, those are kind of cool. You can actually now check a box to like remove the theme styles from the editor.
Whoa.
Yeah, so checking that box actually, like if the theme is like implementing their styles in the editor the way they should be, then it basically removes them from the editor if you didn't want them in the editor, or the reduced UI kind of like hides a couple like icons or a couple things and just slims it down a little bit. So these different modes are, they're really, really fun to play with.
Yeah, I need to kind of explore them a little bit more. Yeah, and then there were, as you said, a lot of enhancements for the widget screen. Now you get a warning when you have unsafe changes in the widget screen, which is so essential.
Right.
Especially because in the old screen, you didn't have to save things because it would automatically save you. You were still working on the widget screen and you already busted up your life site.
Yeah, you were basically working live. Yeah. Now you have to save things.
And I highlighted this because I probably don't know what it is. This allows multiple instances of reference widgets. Is that multiple instances of the post or archive categories?
I saw this one too, and I wasn't too clear about it. So duplicating multiple removes duplicates from submitted API requests. So something's happening there that I'm not too familiar with, but it has been resolved and it is fixed. Whatever it was, it's not happening it's anymore.
Yeah, and that brings us to the new APIs that are in Gutenberg 9.2. And the block support is now also explicit available for server-side rendering. So on in PHP, you now know which block supports what. That's really cool because now you have a little bit better control, especially when you have dynamic blocks and all that. And then there are two block APIs that called Light Block Edit and Save Symmetry and a stabilized block hook. And that is called the API version 2, which pretty much has also the idea that you don't want to, that the block had additional automatic styles in there. And now it doesn't do this anymore. The developer needs to actually explicitly opt in for those. And that is definitely making it easier to control in terms of third-party blocks.
And a lot of that is outlined further down, in the changelog.
Yeah.
As we'll get to it. So we're looking at experiments now, correct?
Right, we are.
And there were 12 of those. Okay, 12 of those. Split up between the query block and the site editor. So I'll speak to the query block a little bit. I've been working on that myself. And let's see, so there's several things that have been going on. Adding custom post types to the query block, which is really cool. Setting a focus on the query block on insertion. So the problem there was that when you throw in a query block into your post or page, it was setting the focus on the first block, the first inner block within the query block. So if that was like your post title, that's where the focus went, not on the block, the query block itself. So that was changed to reflect.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So you wouldn't see the sidebar. Yeah.
Yeah, to keep the focus on the query block, because that's really what you kind of added to the page. So let's see, there's adding a loading message to the query block when it's grabbing the results. And for those of you listeners who aren't like quite following the query block, because it is kind of a technical term, it's the block that basically renders a list of feed items. So like if you have a latest post block or something, like this is kind of what that does, except on a grander scale and really using the WordPress API for the WP query, similar to that sort of thing. And there's a lot of work going into it right now. Like we are working on redesigning the initial placeholder and kind of the steps involved in creating the query. So for you theme builders out there, this is going to be really essential kind of for you to get through and create your own query on your template pages and things like this for your users.
Yeah, I think the idea is then for the theme developers to more use it rather than the end user.
Exactly. Thank you, Birgit. Okay. Yeah. This is not necessarily a end user block for use, but there will be block variations of it. So I mentioned before, like the latest post block. So an end user will see that hopefully and desire to use that on their page rather than having to go through, add the query block and edit their query themselves. Like that block is already set up to provide you with the latest posts and you can make a few settings.
Yeah. And a custom post type would be a set of book reviews or a set
or an
of
event.
Or
a set of events.
Yeah. Or locations or something like that. So the developer, either the plugin developer or the theme developers can actually then create the blocks or the block patterns with that for the end users to pull into a page or into the full site editing.
That's right.
Yep.
And then we have a lot of experiments done with the site editor, many of which touch on something that is kind of being called the navigation panel, which for those of you who haven't seen this already, it kind of blew my mind when I saw it. I was taken aback, like, whoa, when did this get in? I wasn't quite paying attention of it. But when you're in the site editor in the Gutenberg plugin and you click on the W in the upper left-hand corner, it slides open like a new sort of menu screen where the user or the site builder, whoever's kind of creating the site, is going to be able to jump around through templates, through pages, essentially. You know, all these things are going to be in here in a way and structured in a way that's going to provide you a way to navigate through your site as you're building it without having to leave the site editor and return to the WP admin screens. So it's very beneficial to help make the flow of building more efficient for you.
Yeah, definitely. And it brings together the whole experience now, where the things that you have in your head, what you might want to see, will be in the left navigation bar, pretty much, as you are actually accustomed to with the WP admin. It's just right. A layer on top of it.
Yeah, good point. And then, Birgit, we had 62 bug fixes in this release. Like, I would 62 bug fixes just tells me that Gutenberg was broken.
And it wasn't. It works very
it
well.
It right? It was. It's beautiful. But somehow people found 62 bugs, and they all got fixed here.
So no, they found more. There are 20.
Oh, okay. Okay. Shh. Let me say all that.
These are only the fixed ones.
That's true. Oh, now I'm sweating. Okay. So, running through these, there's a few that we highlighted. One of the fixes was to keep the insert from URL entered value on the image placeholder. So this kind of surfaces it visually.
Yeah.
Let's see, the widget screen, adding a browse all option to the inserter. Is that a bug? I'm going to challenge that one. Or was that more of a enhancement?
Well, if you kind of think of the inserter experience that you have in your page.
Right, in the post editor, right?
In the post editor.
Includes it.
And you have the inserter, the same plus, and on the black background for the sibling inserter, it's called. You expect things that it works like the other one. Yeah.
I would agree. Okay, maybe. Maybe I'll call it a bug. So then there was the post schedule label showing the wrong time if the site and user time zones did not match. So that's been remedied. That's nice. Okay. A little time zone. Hey, speaking of time zones, everybody be ready, because in North America or next week, when is the time change?
Saturday.
Anyways, pay attention to all this, because this is when the world goes to havoc when you're trying to organize meetings. Anyway, that was a tangent. Okay.
Well,
on a global scale, when you're trying to organize on a global scale,
there are 2 weeks in open source WordPress where right. Nobody is in their right meeting.
Everybody is showing up to the wrong meeting at the wrong time. This happens right about now, everybody. So.
Oh, I had a pickup meeting. Yeah.
Another bug fix included the cover block, improving the overlay opacity handling, which is nice.
Yeah, threw me a little bit because I lost the overlay opacity on my...
Oh, really? You saw this?
And I had to set it again, but I didn't see it anymore because it only shows up when you select an image. Yeah. It was kind of really interesting. When you select the background color, then you get the opacity. So, and I didn't see it when it was up, because before it was right there. Yeah, it was a little bit hidden away. So, but yeah.
There was fixing the drag and drop in the widget areas. So if you had a empty widget area in the widget screen and you were trying to drag a block or widget to that area, it wasn't working. That's been fixed. Hiding the parent selector in the widget area, which is nice because, you know, if you roll over a block icon that you get the little pop-up that appears for the parent block. Well, this was happening if you were in the widget or in a block in the widget area, that it would pop up and show you your next selection parent would be the widget area. But that widget area is not really a block, it's an area. So we wanted to hide that away.
Right, right. And that actually only applies to the legacy widget.
Yeah.
Because all the other blocks, either they have a parent or they don't. If you put a column block in the footer, you have, and then other blocks into the footer, then you want to have the parent
right.
selector.
You want to on those inner yeah. blocks, right? Mm-hmm. But when you get to the surfaced, the top level block, you don't yeah. want it to show you that the next block up is the widget area. And for you listeners who are not following me while I'm explaining this, I'm using hand gestures to describe everything, but goodness. Okay. So then we have showing all widget areas on the widget screen. That was cool. Making sure that all the widget areas are visible, including the inactive widget area. Blocks or a couple fixes on the blocks. The 9:16 aspect ratio styling, fixing gallery captions were not centered in the front end. It looks like there were quite a number on the widget screen as well, but one such as like adding save keyboard shortcut, you know,
yes.
command save. Because you have to save things now for it to show up on the front end. So why yeah. not get the shortcut working too, right?
Yeah, that goes with the enhancement that you actually get a warning when they're saved.
How good.
Yeah.
How good that
yeah.
is.
The 9:16 aspect ratio styling, that's for yeah, the embed blocks.
Okay, thank yeah, you. So. I wasn't sure if that was video or embed. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the gallery capture. Well, as a side note, if you mm-hmm. need more alignment for the controls of the caption, Editor's Kit provides you with them. I really
yeah.
like it that you can have a caption that's multi-line to actually make it left aligned. Because
I like that too. Yeah.
In the core block, it's only centered and you can only have it centered. And when sometimes you need a multi-line caption, and then it's the accessibility issue that you have with multi-line centered mm-hmm. text.
It's hard to read, right?
Yeah.
It makes
yeah.
it a little more difficult to read. Just a yeah. few more real quick. Cover block shows a spinner now when uploading an image. That was very confusing because when you'd mm-hmm. upload an image and you're waiting for it to show up, you weren't really sure what was going on. But now it tells you that it's loading. So, and fix skipped shortcode transforms in raw handling. Birgit, we have that bolded, but I don't quite understand. Let's see.
Well, when you convert a block from the previous classic editor and there was a shortcode in there,
yes.
it now skips it and does not try to do anything with it. So you can make it a shortcode.
Yeah,
some of the shortcodes are actually inline shortcodes, and that would always throw the
that
parser.
Was a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the last one I have noted is a refactor reusable block edit component using hooks. So, and fix interactions with multiple instances of the same reusable block.
Yeah. So that's the editing and saving an instance did
yeah.
not automatically update other instances in the editor.
What?
So that was a fix.
It's the whole point of
yeah,
reusable
right.
blocks.
No kidding. And then editing a reusable block, putting focus in the title field and then pressing escape to cancel.
Oh,
the edit did not work properly
yes.
either. So those were the refactors. Yeah. Well,
okay.
that brings us to three performance issues that were fixed or that are PRs. So avoid the selector to improve performance on the paragraph, and then remove the transition from the block selection indicator. Also increases the performance. And the widget screen preloads now the request to the sidebar. And then we had a few documentation changes, commits. One is to bring the block-based theme tutorial up to date. And I think that's the most important part because everything comes together now the block-based theme and the full-site editing is now getting ready to be tested. And for that, you definitely need a documentation. And then also the documentation for the color component has been updated or even has been added. So it was missing. And there were others as well. There's another one that says update block-based themes documentation. So there was quite a few edits in that documentation there.
Keeping that one updated is very important right now with this whole block-based full site editing coming out. I'm sure mm-hmm. theme developers are just learning all they can about these block-based themes.
Yeah, definitely. And then there were 29 code quality commits in this. And I would think a third of them were refactoring the blocks to use hooks. That's a programmatical React hooks that came out in three years ago, and now the block editor uses it, but also the API version 2
supports it.
Yeah. Supports it, or yeah, the blocks are now supporting it. So the, there was a list of all kind of blocks, and then there was update all blocks to API version 2. So we highlighted that to talk about that. So if I think I mentioned it, it's now from now on, styles and class names are not added automatically, overriding and at least or fighting with the developer styles for third-party blocks for the static block. And then the goal is a clearer separation between the core editor and the block developers.
I love how you and I laughed at the changelog items, how there was changelog items for individual blocks being mentioned about this. And then finally, there's a PR that's just like, update all the blocks with this. And I thought to myself, who goes through the changelog other than you and I? And then starts laughing at some of these PRs and how they're being listed here. Like, this is, we're geeking out on the changelog, basically. I love it.
Yeah. I like it when you talk dirty. So another code quality change that I wanted to point out is that they removed the animation from the mover buttons.
Yeah.
Which is...
Again, the mover buttons are being just tweaked just a little, right? Because there's so many things that are being tried with getting these block mover buttons to work and look and react correctly. The latest edition was adding some animation to them to help. Well, that's been removed. So, yeah. And everybody listening, we're getting towards the end. Hang in there. So there's about one security improvement PR that made it in, about the PostCSS plugins preset saying update vulnerable dependency. So there's that in. A breaking change was included, add separate widgets endpoint. So for those of you looking at the widgets API and the endpoints, like, there's a breaking change there. And there were 69 various, or, you know, kitchen drawer sort of PRs that we really couldn't find where to put them. So they put them into a various section, and I'll briefly run through a few. One is to allow transform to columns from a single block, right? Which, again, is, we talked about creating multiple blocks and bringing them into a columns block. Well, you can do that with a single block.
You can do the reverse of it.
Transform from a single block to columns, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't clear. Thank you. Reusable block support for the widgets editor. That was a big one. Yeah. Tadlock had called that one out, and we're like, okay, let's get this in. Good points. You brought up great points. Like, everybody brought up some good points about that. Let's see. Social links block had an update placeholder experience when first editing social links. So there's a bit of an update there. Headings block, add wide and full width options.
Yay.
Finally, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Adding a color palette edit functionality to global styles. That's wonderful. So if you get a theme that allows global styles, you can actually edit the color palette.
You get a sidebar where you can edit that, yeah.
And a few more here, displaying before widget and after widget when rendering WP widget block.
Well, that comes from the old widget API, right? Because those were properties of the widgets. So
It
didn't render it before, yeah.
Now it is, though. Yeah. The gallery block, add labels to image, figure, and fig caption elements for accessibility. There's a good one. Hide the quick inside inserter when the user is typing. So the quick side inserter. I'm assuming that's like the plus that appears in the page in line with you. So it kind of hides while you're typing. In fact, oh my goodness, have we passed the announcement section? Oh, what's in active development? I've got one to add when we get there.
Okay.
And the last one on my list, on our list, Birgit, is the REST API introduce batch controller. So that, you have a question?
No, what is it?
I don't even know, but it's highlighted on my list. We got to open this up. It sounds quite important.
Oh, you can get, so you need, when you put in widgets, you need a validation on every of those
includes pieces. For validation mode. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, cool.
It's good for people who use the REST API.
Yeah. And that closes out changelog for Gutenberg 9.2, everything that has been introduced there.
Well, good job.
Good job. Yes, we did it. We skimmed through 227 changelog items.
So what's an active development and discuss? And the list that's here, that's all very theme oriented. So the theme 21 is now available in the beta version. So I already started. So I have a site where I use Trunk. That's the daily build of Core, as well as the daily build of Gutenberg and the 2021 theme. So I'm at the latest updates every day where I can test things if I want to. But the 2021 theme also, Mel Joyce put together a discussion on should the team work on dark mode for the theme. To get a little bit ahead of the curve, we all know dark mode on apps, but we haven't seen a lot of websites that can switch between light mode and dark mode for the visitor, that they can do this. And Mel Joyce did a fantastic job putting all the options in there that how to implement it, or it could be implemented, and then discussing the pro and cons. So that's definitely a good read for those who do themes.
Can I'm laughing to myself because I recently downloaded this off of GitHub and this theme, and then uploaded it to like one of my local sites here that I was testing with. And I could not understand why. I thought the background was supposed to be like this teal color, but I kept seeing a background that was like a dark gray, and I couldn't understand. Some pages it was dark gray, some pages it was like a teal, and I didn't know what was going on. And I'm laughing to myself right now because obviously like some dark mode thing was happening, and it's probably still just a little buggy right now or something. I should really read that post because I'll probably learn a lot from it.
Well, there are a lot of people already commented on it. So it's a really public discussion with interesting points and how people approach it. So definitely worth a read. And in the same topic, the first full block-based theme for full site editing was approved in the official repository for themes at WordPress.org themes. And it's called Q, created by Ari Stathopoulos. And Ari is a team rep on the theme review team and wrote in a tweet, and I quote, "Hopefully this will allow more people to easier test full site editing FSE," he wrote, "in Gutenberg and move the project forward a bit faster," end of quote. So in the show notes, we will have the link also to the GitHub repo so you can file issues or contribute to that. Yeah, so that was that part. And the same way, also, there's a 2021 blocks theme and the GitHub theme experiments repository by Carolina Niemark. And she is developing the full site editing version for 2021. So that process has started as well. And you're welcome to check it all out.
Yeah, for anybody interested in the theming with block-based themes and stuff, like everything that's happening right now, all these things in active development are really great pieces to look into to see what people are doing and building for ideas and inspiration. You know, Birgit, I wanted to add one thing to this list. And I know we had a long one already, but I wanted to talk about what spurred the thought in my head. Maybe I can try to include it, the link in the show notes, but Sean Andrews did a recent like investigation into that little sibling inserter, right? Or the plus that's kind of in line with your posts. And you and I have noticed, right, that plus appears in multiple areas at times, and it's very kind of confusing how it acts and reacts with things. So he's recently done a deep dive into it and is providing some new solutions around this, which I think could really change kind of the experience for just trying to type content and edit things without having all these little pluses appear all over the screen. And so I just wanted to touch on that, and I'll grab the link and make sure it's in the show notes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought this up. So, but now we are at the end of this Gutenberg changelog. It's the number 31. But I have one reminder. Just because it doesn't get into 5.6, the widget screen still needs your input and your testing. So I will have in the show notes again the call for testing of the widget screen that Anne McCarthy posted several weeks ago, but it's still accurate. And so, as always, our show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. This is episode 31. And if you have questions or suggestions or news you want to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. We love email from you, dear listeners. Thank you all so much for listening. Goodbye until the next time.
Yes, thank you, everybody. And Birgit, it was a wonderful time with you, and I hope you have a great evening.
Oh, I hope for you the same, and see you in 2 weeks.
All righty. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.